I want to say a little bit today about the Lord Jesus as our head and Lord. Colossians chapter 1, and I'll read verses 15 through 19. The Lord Jesus Christ is the subject here, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And then in the second chapter, we're told, verses 9 and 10, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In Hebrews chapter 3, and the sixth verse, the Lord Jesus is said to be the Son over his own house. And unless we acknowledge the headship of Christ, unless we acknowledge him as the head of the church, as well as the head of all creation, we'll never get the blessings that he has to offer. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but sin is a denial of the headship and lordship of Christ. 1 John 3 and verse 4 in the Revised Version says, sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. It is rebellion against the lordship and headship of Christ. Some of you who are listening to me just now may be in an open state of rebellion against Christ. And I beg of you, for the love of your own soul, don't go on like that. For you're on the losing side. God has decreed that one of these days every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. It has pleased the Father, we just read, that in him should all fullness dwell. The Lord Jesus must have the preeminence. That word preeminence only occurs twice in our King James Version of the Bible. Our Lord Jesus is said to be the preeminent one, and then we read about a man called Diotrephes who wanted to be preeminent. All sin, then, is rebellion against the headship and lordship of Christ. The Lord Jesus is said to be the head of the church in the same way that I have a head to my body. And my body is controlled from the head. Ephesians 1:22 speaks of him this way. We need this in order to avoid ignorance and lack of direction. A headless person, of course, is soon a dead person, but he's certainly a person without guidance. But you say, our church has a head in New York. Well, I'm sorry, I have nothing to say about your church, but I know that the Bible says Christ is the head of the church. Are you a member of that body, of that church? 1 Corinthians 12 tells us about this. We have been made members of that body. All the members of my body were born in their place. All the members of the body of Christ were born in their place, too, by the new birth, born again. Then Christ is said to be the head of the church in the same way that the husband is said to be the head of the wife. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, verses 25 to 33. Now, some of you may think that's a little old-fashioned, but if you haven't tried it, I suggest that God's way is always best, and you might be very well off to try it. Homes are breaking up because the husband is not the head of the wife. That's God's order. I'm not going to try to change it. There are many benefits to the body through the headship of Christ that we won't have time to speak about just now. The nourishment, we're told, is ministered to each one through the head, Colossians 2:19. 1 Corinthians 12:18 tells us that we have guidance through the head, and Ephesians 5:23 says that he is the preserver of the body. He takes care of us. Since he's gone back to heaven, the Holy Spirit is the means of administering his headship over the body. He has placed his Holy Spirit within us, and he gives gifts. He seals and fills and leads us by his word. And then each of us are intended to be a help to each other. Every joint supplies certain things that are needed in the body, but all of us must draw from the Lord Jesus himself, who is the head. But not only is he the head of the church, but he's the Lord of the individual. When we receive the Lord Jesus, we own his lordship, because we're told in Romans 10 and 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord. Do you remember that when the Apostle Paul, he was then called Saul of Tarsus, when he was converted on the way to Damascus, the record is given in the 9th chapter of Acts, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That was his very first thought when he bowed to the Savior. Now we have been redeemed and we have been set free. And the Lord Jesus says plainly in the 15th of John, I have not called you servants. I have called you friends. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And if you have received the Lord Jesus, you have been set free. If you haven't received him, you're still a slave, and you couldn't own the lordship of Christ if you tried. You first of all got to be liberated from your old master, sin and Satan. But having received the Lord Jesus as Savior, we have the liberty, we have the privilege of acknowledging him as our Lord. Now this has to be done out of love to him. He doesn't want your acknowledgement of his lordship out of fear. He doesn't want you to say, well, I have to do this or I'll be lost. He wants you to say, my Lord has done so much for me that I love to do what I can for him. And love must own him as Lord. And then it has a practical application in our daily life. I believe that there has to come a first time when a Christian says Lord to the Savior, just as there has to be a first time when you trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. I know some people say, well, I always was a Christian. I was brought up in a Christian home, or I was brought to church in my mother's arms, and that's wonderful, but that does not make you a Christian. We have to receive the Lord Jesus. John 1 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. Well, the same thing is true in acknowledging the lordship of Christ. There has to be a first time when we say, Lord Jesus, you bought me with your precious blood. I belong to you. You show me what you want me to do. But once is not enough. This has to be a daily thing. Just as a wife has to recognize day by day her husband as her head, so we have to recognize day by day the place that the Lord has in our lives. In John 13, and verse 13, he says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well. Have you said it today? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I belong to thee. What wilt thou have me to do? And I'd like to suggest that the Lord Jesus must be Lord of all, or he's not at all areas of your life. Young people, acknowledge the lordship of Christ before you choose a mate for life. Let him help you choose. He'll do better for you than you could ever do for yourself, and I speak from experience. You're going to change jobs, are you? Acknowledge the lordship of Christ. Let him help you. Let him put you in the right place where he wants you. You have some problems, acknowledge his lordship. Having received him as Savior, he certainly deserves to be your Lord. Address this one word to those who have never yet received him. I know that it's distasteful to you to think of anyone being your Lord. You believe in the American way of life, and I do too. You say, I'm free. Yes, but you're not free until the Lord Jesus sets you free. And he sets you free, that you might be free indeed. And you'll be glad then to acknowledge his lordship. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge thy lordship again, and thank thee that thou hast redeemed us with precious blood. We pray now that thou guide us in our daily life. We offer thee our thanks in the name that is above every name.